Good morning. I'd like to call a meeting of the State Affairs Committee at 8 o'clock or 8:05 this morning, January 18th, 2005. Present are Representative Gardner, Representative Gatto, Representative Ramirez, and Chair Seaton. Today we are, well, before I start into that, I'd like to remind everybody to turn off their cell phones and pagers. Yeah, there were a few errors last time, and hard to remember that stuff. Also, the secretary has asked that we not move the mics up and down when we're not going to be speaking. Just leave them in place. They're sensitive, and what's happening is they're getting a real screeching noise in the mechanicals when they mics are moved up and down. There is a center button on these new mics that says push, and so if you need to cough or need to do anything, you can press that and it mutes, but only during the time that you are pushing the button. So just so everybody's aware of that. Are there any other housekeeping items from anybody on the committee? Okay. Today we are going to hear an overview from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, focusing primarily on the public facilities and the Alaska Marine Highway System. And we'll begin with welcoming Deputy Commissioner John McKinnon and Commissioner Mike Barton. And we appreciate that, and their discussion will be on public facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have with me today Deputy Commissioner John McKinnon, Deputy for Highways and Public Facilities, Nancy Slagle, our Director of Administrative Services, who's the expert on all things financial, John Ferguson, my Special Assistant for the Marine Highway System, and Frank Richards, our State Maintenance Engineer.
Very good. And before you start, I would like to recognize that we've been joined by Representative Lynn and Representative Elkins on the committee, and we have Representative Mike Kelly in the audience. And Mike, if you'd like to bring a chair up and sit at the front table here, you're welcome to.
Probably need another chair. Max may come in, but if he does, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. At any rate, these people will be able to answer your questions. You have in front of you a PowerPoint presentation, which we did not put on the machine. And I'll just work through that, interrupt at any time for questions or any comments you might wish to make. On the on page two, you'll see the topics that I'll cover briefly this morning on facilities. We have no formal briefing on the Marine Highway System, but we'd be happy to respond to questions, or we can do a formal briefing at some later time, if you'd wish, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Page three, you can see the regions of the state that DOT has. The northern region is headquartered in Fairbanks, the central region headquartered in Anchorage, and the southeast region here in Juneau out at 7 Mile. Page four, we show the locations of our 84 maintenance stations scattered around the state. Page five is the National Highway, Alaska National Highway System. And page six is the Alaska Highway System. And page seven shows the 258 state-owned airports in the state, the two internationals, of course, at Fairbanks and Anchorage. There are 21 certificated airports around the state. On page eight, there are 73 state-owned harbors. 51 are operated by agreements with local governments, we're actively pursuing transferring harbors to local governments wherever that's possible. We have a program by which we bring them up to a certain standard of maintenance and then transfer them to a local entity. We estimate that at the conclusion of that program, there'll still be about 22 state-owned harbors because there is no local entity capable of maintaining and operating them.
Excuse me, Commissioner. The 73 state-owned harbors, now, under the program where we bring the facility up to maintenance and so it's a good facility, and then we transfer that. Now, are those still included in those 73, or are those actually then owned by the local municipality that takes over those?
I believe the 73 is what we presently own, the state presently owns, and the local community. There already have been some transferred to local communities. John, do you know the number?
Well, in the last 2 years, we've dealt with 10 communities as part of the November 02 bond issue. And in those 10 communities, there were approximately 19 harbors that were part of that transfer.
Would you mind just pulling a chair up? That'll help. And would you identify yourself for the record?
John McKenna, Deputy Commissioner for Highways and Public Facilities. In those 10 communities, there were some communities had three and four harbors associated with the communities. Some communities were only one harbor. We have successfully signed transfers with 9 of those 10 communities, and there's still a couple of harbors in Ketchikan outstanding that were not within the city limits but within the borough limits. Question of their ability to take over harbors that are not within their city limits. And then Yakutat has an issue of right-of-way because there was a FAA-sponsored seaplane float attached to the harbor. We're dealing with that, but we hope to make all the transfers within the next 6 or 8 months.
Okay, and what I'm trying to understand just with clarity is the 73 state-owned harbors then are in addition to all the harbors like Homer and Sildovia and all those that were state harbors and have now been transferred to local entities.
That's correct.
Right? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
If you look at page 9, this is the route map for the Marine Highway System. 33 ports of call, 3,500 miles of route, and of course, we all know it begins in Bellingham and ends out at Dutch. Page 10, the State of Alaska Facilities. There's 1,500 buildings, 10 million square feet, and about $2.5 billion in replacement value. And you can see a list of examples. There are the types of buildings.
And just for the committees, make sure we have new members on the committee, everybody understands that we have overview of the and jurisdiction on DOT as far as public facilities and the ferry system goes, but we really don't deal here with the road system per se and the maintenance of the roads. However, the public facilities that are there, those we have, our committee has jurisdiction over. Just so everybody understands the parameters under which we're discussing DOT. Thanks.
Page 11, there's 700 buildings that DOT uses, and you can see a substantial number of them are over 30 years old. Page 12, the types of buildings that DOT operates and maintains. Airport, ferry, office maintenance, equipment, way stations, and employee housing. And page 13 shows you our operating budget request by fund sources for facilities.
Excuse me, Representative Gardner.
Thank you. On page 13, could you tell me what IA, CIP, SD, PR stand for?
Yes, I had asked myself on one of them yesterday. Interagency receipts is IA. That's one state agency to another state agency or other state agencies to DOT.
Uh-huh.
CIP is capital improvement program receipts, generally federal money. SDPR is the same thing as interagency receipts, except that it's non-state agencies. Could be federal agencies or local communities that they would transfer money to DOT to maintain and operate a facility for them.
Thank you.
Yes, Chair Representative Gutter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just an example of employee housing. Typically, where would we find that?
That's some of those 84 remote maintenance stations you see on page 4.
Four.
I think the number's the page.
And do the employees pay a portion of that, or is that just part of their?
Nancy?
Yes, they basically get housing provided to them because there is nothing available in those communities.
Okay. Nancy, can you?
I'll just repeat
it. Okay, would you please?
Sure. What Nancy said was that the housing is made available to them because there's no alternative in some of these remote locations.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And I guess what I'm asking is,
Representative Magato.
Thank you, sir. Do they reimburse the state in any way for the housing, or is it just part of the state simply takes the cost and does not defer it in any way?
I believe that this taxable income to them to be able to stay in those houses, and we're providing that housing for them.
No out of pocket.
Does that help?
I guess no out of pocket costs is what I was asking.
Yeah, taxable income, it's taxable income from the employees, but there is no actual out-of-pocket cost.
Thank you. Any other questions at this point? Okay, proceed.
On page 14, you can see the maintenance budget for facilities by region. Again, remembering Central is headquartered in Anchorage, Southeast in Juneau, and Northern in Fairbanks.
Commissioner, this maintenance excludes the ferry system or it includes it?
It excludes the ferry system.
Thank you.
And roads and airports. On page 15, you can get an idea of the fixed costs for our facilities, totaling almost $6 million. Needless to say, our utility costs, particularly oil, have been going up rapidly. On page 16, we're showing $8 million in needed deferred maintenance. And you can see there what it's designed to accomplish. And our Willow maintenance station is kind of a special case. We had a fire there. I think the fire department was a little too efficient, but we ended up with a mess that we had to then tear down, and now we need to replace that maintenance station. On page 17, this is contracts that we have to develop energy conservation in the some state facilities. There's five buildings in Juneau involved and three in Anchorage. I don't know what we've learned from this program. I don't know, Nancy or Frank, do you know what we've learned yet?
No, sir,
too early to have learned anything.
Commissioner, we're going to be getting an energy audit completed in the pandemic.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for DOT. We've been working with Siemens on this particular contract. It's a very interesting one, in where they come in and do energy audits of the buildings and make a proposal as to what they can do to help us save energy costs by making a rehabilitation or renovation of the facilities. And they provide a proposal for us on how they're going to do this and what type of cost savings they can provide us in the long run from utility savings, those types of things. So replacing ballasts or doing some type of window replacement or structural changes, those types of things. So they've been reviewing, I believe, 8 buildings, 5 in Juneau and 3 in Anchorage, and they will be providing us the results of that, those energy audits, within the next few months. And then we'll be able to go forward with, and once we accept those, to do construction on those buildings, hopefully this coming construction season. And then we would be able to see those cost savings in our future years' operating budgets.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just to go back to page 15, it says fixed costs. Does this mean in millions and hundreds of thousands and thousands? What's the multiplier here?
Oh, and page 15, those are in thousands of dollars, so that you're talking $2.5 million for electricity, okay, for all of our DOT's buildings that we're responsible for.
So times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take just a short at ease while we shuffle chairs up here.